Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the chase for the cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, yeah. It's level three, the quickest entertainment in sports talk radio. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. All right, we've got Ian Cameron going to step up and in a couple of minutes. Countdown to kickoff is on. We've been NFL heavy, and understandably so. The bracket is set. The Super Bowl odds are up right now. But, of course, the countdown to kickoff is on. National championship football game, 13.5, 63.5. The number's gone up. We're going over some of these touchdown props right now. You have to always lay a big price, man, when it comes to college. And one thing I'll tell you, it's not a guarantee that college kids are going to score. These games are erratic, but I do think there's going to be quite a few touchdowns. Look, total 63.5. You know, we're talking about 10 touchdowns. Like, the odds makers are expecting 10 touchdowns, so they've got to come from somewhere. Right, so you got to say, and it's, you know, it's doubtful that one guy is going to get like 4 touchdowns. So I can see sort of spraying the board here with some of these touchdown props. As we mentioned, Kenny McIntosh is minus 200. Brock Bowers is minus 190. Both pretty pricey. Kendre Miller is minus 185. Pricey. DeMarcado was minus 185. Pricey. McConkey, minus 120. I like the Quentin Johnston prop at minus 115 to score an anytime touchdown. I do believe that the game is going to turn into a track meet. Both quarterbacks' player passing touchdowns is 1.5. All right, now listen, you're getting plus money with Max Duggan over 1.5 touchdown passes. Like, that's a smash and grab. You know what? That's a smash and grab play right there. You're telling you telling me that Max Duggan is going to throw for more than 2 touchdowns in this game? I tell you that he is. I'll tell you that he's probably going to do it in the first half. Like, it's just, it's far too light. Like, 1.5. So, like I said, you're expecting 10 touchdowns in this game. And Georgia are basically 2 touchdown favorites. So, 10 touchdowns, six of them for Georgia and 4 of them for TCU. Now, for the record, against Michigan, he had 2 touchdown passes. He also had 2 interceptions. I think the interception props are in play for both players here. It's pricey for Max Duggan, but I think it's a distinct possibility and probability, actually, that both quarterbacks will throw an interception in this football game. And you know, at worst, you go 1-1. There's no way that it's not going to happen that either quarterback's not going to throw a pick. There's going to be a lot of balls thrown in the air here in this game. So, and TCU is going to be playing from behind at some points, I would believe. So I would explicit. I love Max Duggan over 1.5 touchdown passes, and I love Stetson Bennett over 1.5 touchdown passes. The Stetson Bennett prop is a little pricier than the Max Duggan one. It's a lot pricier. Stetson Bennett had 3 touchdown passes against Ohio State. He had 4 against LSU in the SEC Conference Championship game. He threw for 398 yards against Ohio State. He checks in at like 274.5 right now. The countdown to kickoff. It's level 3. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Shout out to our AM radio affiliates joining us on the Sports Grid Radio Network, SiriusXM Channel 159. We've had something for everybody tonight. San Diego in the house on the money or 1090, SoCal repping. We were talking with Jason B. Takafin earlier in the World Baseball Classic. We'll be taking place, at least portions of it, in San Diego, and this thing is going to be lit. All right, well, we have more time. We're in football mode. When we have more time, we'll go over all the rosters and stuff because the futures are posted for this right now. Speaking of futures, the Super Bowl odds are up. The Kansas City Chiefs are favored to win the Super Bowl right now. They are the one seed. They have the bye in the AFC, but they won't have home field advantage if it's the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs in the conference championship game. If it's any other combination, it will not be at a neutral field. They haven't named the city yet. Countdown to kickoff is on the national championship game. We're going to get into this with Ian Cameron. Babana will join us in a couple of minutes. TCU, we're getting 13.5, and I'm not getting in front of a TCU football team right now. I am a Michigan fan, and I warned you guys last week that I thought it was going to be a tough game. I did think Michigan were going to win the game, but I thought it was going to be a battle, and it obviously was a battle. And TCU were battle-tested. Sonny Dykes, in his first year with the Horned Frogs, turned around a 5-win football team on the verge of winning the national championship. They're playing with house money. All the pressure's on the Georgia Bulldogs. We just saw Ohio State go up and down the field on this Georgia Bulldogs secondary, and there's no reason why Max Duggan can't do the same. You're getting plus money with Max Duggan to throw over 1.5 touchdown passes. We're going to pull the trigger on Max Duggan over 1.5 touchdown passes. I think Stetson Bennett's going to go over 1.5 touchdown passes as well. I think this game is going to be a higher scoring game. Now, listen, we don't need to have 110 points. We don't need to have 91 points. We don't need 65 points. We need 64. Although I will say, with the number going up, don't be surprised if it continues to climb. It was 62.5 all week. Now it's sitting at 63.5, and I think this number could continue to climb. We're going to have all kinds of props. Tune in tomorrow at 6 o'clock Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, SiriusXM Channel 159 Sports Grid Radio and Television Network. So we'll have all of our best bets and props.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or Die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
For the game, but we'll break it down with Ian Cameron on the other side. We'll talk NFL football, college football, NHL hockey, and more. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sunday, bloody Sunday. This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Moranci, the Pips, the Players, the Hustlers, the Babanos, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. This is Sports Rage, SiriusXM Channel 159, Sports Grid Radio Network. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates, including the mightier 1090, ESPN Radio, the 50,000-watt juggernaut in the house. And so is Ian Cameron. Babano, it's always a pleasure. Let's do this thing. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Moranci. The NFL playoffs are on the horizon, and the college football national championship game is less than 24 hours away. TCU in Georgia, so good times.
Yeah, let's start off at SoFi in Los Angeles with the Georgia Bulldogs now laying 13.5. The number's starting to go up right now as kickoff approaches. 13.5, and so is the total. It was 62.5 all week. The number's been bouncing around in between 12, 12.5, 13, etc. But now it's starting to trend upwards, and so is the total of this football game. Was 62.5 all week. It's 63.5 everywhere right now.
Yeah, I mean, money coming in on Georgia and the over. Not totally unexpected to me. I mean, favored in the over, especially as the public starts to come in closer to the start of this game, is not shocking. I think I talked at Wednesday last week with you about this a little bit. I mean, I like TCU. I still do. Line movement doesn't really deter me in any way. I think it's a lot of points to be laying with a Georgia team that has at least shown some vulnerability in the secondary in the last few weeks. Maybe that's more of a thing Stroud and Ohio State took advantage of than Max Duggan, but Max Duggan can throw the football. I mean, I know this is a balanced offense that TCU's had, but he can throw the football successfully if given time. He's got weapons to work with at receiver. It's a lot of points to be laying. And look, when it comes to Georgia, their offense, you know, wasn't perfect in the win against Ohio State. You know, we did see a mistake or two from Bennett. You see a TCU defense that gives up yards. And look, Georgia is the statistical better team. You're right. There's a lot of statistics that point to them being better. They've got a big edge in yards per game, yards per play, the turnover margin that TCU has leads people to believe that they're doing it a little bit with smoke and mirrors. And as a result, that's why you're getting the point spread you're getting with Georgia. You're laying, I think, more of a premium. But the point is, how many times have we seen teams that outperform their statistical profile? And TCU is a perfect example of that. You know, the yardage and the turnover margin and all that, throw it out. They make winning plays. They make critical plays at key times in the football game, just like we saw against Michigan last week. And I think they're going to make at least enough key plays in this game, Morency, to hang inside what I think is a little bit of an inflated number.
You know, TCU are underrated in a lot of different ways, actually. And I've never been a big yard guy when it comes to stats and stuff. I really haven't, because a lot of teams give up yards when they have the lead. There's always a context to a lot of yard stuff. TCU, I think, is more sort. Listen, they gamble a lot on defense, right? They gamble. Is it?
And they play 3-3-5, which not many teams do.
Yeah. So, and you know, you're right. Yeah, Mississippi State do a bit, but the 3-3-5 is more of a gambling type of defense. They'll give up big plays, but they'll also make big plays in it. But TCU were very good in the red zone defensively, and you know, a lot of us, including myself, everybody called out Michigan for their, you know, for their ineffectiveness inside the red zone, specifically inside the 5-yard line and on the goal line last week. But TCU are ranked 44th nationally as far as red zone defense is concerned. Teams score 85% of the time, but that's actually pretty good. But conversely, this is pretty scary. And everyone always talks Georgia defense, Georgia defense, Georgia defense. The Georgia Bulldog offense. All right. They scored 98.55% of the time. Number one in college football, red zone scoring percentage on offense. Something people don't actually talk about. Georgia are incredibly efficient when they get into the red zone. They do score. I do believe there will be points put up on the board. Is it going to get into the 90s? I don't want to say it won't, but it doesn't have to for us to win the over bet. But I tell you what, I think the number could go up even more to like 64, 64 and a half by kickoff.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the money coming in on over, like it does usually, you know, in the Super Bowl, National Championship, these kind of games, you know, the public is usually going to bet the over, and I think we're starting to see signs of that now, less than 24 hours away. I am going to bet the over pregame, and I'm really what I'm going to do is a small bet pregame, and really look to add more, potentially a lot more in game and live during the game, because we have seen some recent examples. The last 2-3 national championship games, it's been 3-point, 7-point, 10-point first quarters. They have been slow starters, and then the explosion has occurred usually midway through the second quarter is when we've seen these games open up in terms of the offense the last few years. So that's my strategy going into this game. A small over pregame, a lot more than I'll be adding live in-game, thinking that we might get off to a slower start.
I like where you're going with that. I can't talk you out of that or anybody else out of that. And, you know, listen, man, I always have the itch to get to bed in before the game still, right? Because there's always the fear, oh, my God, like, you know, there's going to be a bunch of points and I'm going to miss out. But a lot of new school bettors don't even bet before the game anymore. But I like where you're going with that, Babano. I'm still going to put my plays in. And in fact, I've already got, like, the overs in on teasers and stuff just to get it down already. But I don't disagree. I think the game will open up as the game goes on. You know, last week, Babano, that Michigan game, the in-game total was all the way down to 43.5 at one point, right? And look what happened. Yep. They ended up getting into the 90s. It opened up, obviously, right, as the game went on. And I think this will be a very similar situation. I could see, you know, TCU potentially playing from behind, but they don't tap out. They're not going to stop trying to score and scoring. And Georgia are incredibly difficult to score. I do think it goes over, but I don't have a problem with waiting and getting an in-game over 53.5 or something like that.
Yeah, that's definitely my strategy, and it's a perfect example relating it back to TCU Michigan, where it did start slow. and you could have gotten a total in the mid-40s for a game that wound up with 90 points. Now, again, do we both think there's going to be 90 points in this game? No, but I think it can open up, and if it starts like 3-0, 7-3 after the first quarter, and you see this total dip into the, you know, 50s, low 50s even, never mind 40s, just low 50s, considering the total 63 right now, that's going to be great value to pounce on a live in-game over bet. So that's definitely what I will be looking to do. In terms of props, I do want to throw one out there that's my favorite. And it was my favorite last week in the semifinals. I'm picking on the Georgia secondary again, Gabe. I am. I mean, I cashed an easy one with C.J. Stroud for Ohio State over passing yards. He flew over that number. Yeah. They gave up 500 passing yards to LSU. They do have issues right now against the pass, and I'm sure Sonny Dykes knows that. And I know they try to stay balanced. I know running the football is a big part of TCU's offense. But I don't think it's lost on the TCU coaching staff that there are some vulnerabilities with the Georgia secondary right now. And considering that it's reasonable to expect TCU will be trailing more than leading in this football game. I think over 234.5 passing yards with Max Duggan is a terrific bet. It's my favorite prop. I'll just say it right now.
I think both quarterbacks will go over. It's going to turn into a track meet. These numbers are always far too low. Dude, Stetson Bennett threw for 398 yards against Ohio State. All right, he threw for 398 yards. Yep. He threw for 274 against LSU, and they won that football game by 20. He didn't really even have to throw. Stetson Bennett puts up bigger numbers. Like, you know, like I said, Georgia offensively are much better and explosive than people realize. You can get Stetson Bennett's 275.5 passing yards right now. And
I like
I'll tell
Bennett
you what.
To throw an interception as well in this game. Bennett to throw an interception. I want to throw out something very interesting. Bennett, you talked about how Mississippi State is one of the few teams other than TCU that plays a 3-3-5 alignment defense. Do you know that Bennett threw two interceptions against Mississippi State in that game earlier this season? So this is a defense, a type of scheme that has thrown him off a little bit. At least Mississippi State's 3-3-5 did. So reasonable to expect maybe TCU can get an interception and a mistake out of Stetson Bennett. It's only minus 115.
I think both teams will actually be bad. If you dude, last week Duggan and McCarthy both threw picks like right away in the game. It was like boom, boom. Like they both threw interceptions right away. There's gonna be interceptions. I can live with betting them both. You're gonna hit one of them. The other one too is we're up against it here, but the other one is the quarterback rushing yard props. I love Duggan last week. I did play him, but I was concerned about the sacks counting negative yards.
Which they do in college, yep.
Yeah, but the fact is he still ended up with 57 yards. And he's really good at noticing when people turn his back to him, he'll take off. And also, quite frankly, he could be running for his life at times against the Georgia defensive line. And on top of it, it's a championship game, guys. So he's not going to hold anything back.
Totally.
Like
agree.
Anything.
Yep.
So
that's
he's
one of my
see,
props, too.
Yep. Yeah, if he sees green space, he's taking off, guys. So you know, let's bet the over, Duggan, over passing yards and over rush yards. It's 30.5 right now as far as rush yards are concerned. Morty and Cameron on the other side. This is Sports Trade. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Won the freak in Dallas-Fort Worth. We're talking TCU and Georgia right now, going over some props and more with Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano. We'll get into the Dallas Cowboys and the Tampa Bay Buccaneer playoff game as well. But, Babano, final words and closing thoughts and recap your best bets for the national championship game.
Yeah, TCU plus the points. We're going to look at the over pregame, but a lot more I'll be adding to that with a live in-game bet at a better number. That's the plan. And as far as props go, my two favorites are Max Duggan over passing yards. You mentioned Max Duggan over rushing yards. That's right up there, too. And I like Stetson Bennett to throw an interception, minus 115. Now, Duggan to throw an interception, he very well could, but he's minus 220, his interception.
That's
probably
pricey.
You got to lay a big number with that.
Put that like in a parlay.
Yeah, I like Bennett, minus 115, and he threw two interceptions against Mississippi State, the team that plays the same 3-3-5 defensive scheme that TCU does.
I would take a look. We'll have all of our props on Game Time Decisions tomorrow, our final props, but I would also take a look here. Max Duggan, guys, over under passing touchdowns, over 1.5 is plus 105. Are you kidding me? in a football game that I think is going to get into the high 60s, 70s, and maybe 80s. One and a half. And Stetson Bennett, albeit pricey at minus 220. Come on, bro. This guy's going to have two touchdown passes probably in the first quarter. one and a half. So, yeah, it's minus 220. You can put it in a parlay or you just sort of play it and bite it. So, you know, if you take underdogs, you take underdogs. Sometimes, though, if you lay the number, it's not bad if it actually wins. But both quarterbacks, Babano, are over one and a half touchdown passes. They're both going to go over.
Yeah, I wouldn't talk anyone out of that. And just lastly on this game, touchdown score props. Like, there's a lot of players that are in the minus. Like, you got to lay a pretty significant price, especially on Bowers and McIntosh for Georgia. You got to look down the board a little bit. I think the ones that have some value, Adonai Mitchell has proven to be a big game weapon for Georgia, and it wouldn't surprise me to see him have a big game here. He's been good in the playoff games last year as a freshman, and he's starting to get, he was injured a little bit this year. He's gotten better down the stretch. So Adonai Mitchell for Georgia is probably a good one. I think Quentin Johnston might be undervalued. And if you really want to get, you know, a daring here, maybe look at a Tay Barber for TCU. You can get a good plus price on him to be an anytime touchdown.
Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano. All right, Babano, let's get into the National Football League. And let's start off with the Cincinnati Bengals and the Baltimore Ravens. Cincinnati opened up as a 5.5-point favorites, minus 225 on the money line. Of course, they play today. Unique situation. They play once again. The game is in Cincinnati. Lamar Jackson's status unknown right now, Babano. But even with Lamar, without Lamar, whatever, and I believe that they believe that Lamar is going to play because of the number. Otherwise, it would be like 10.5 or something like that, if not higher. But Lamar hasn't played for a while, and Cincinnati are just a dangerous football team. But Battle, I was surprised this number wasn't higher.
Yeah, there is no question that it this when you look at this matchup here, it's contingent upon, obviously, Lamar Jackson's status. There's no question. But when I look at it here, I mean, to me, Cincinnati is the better football team. I'm not going to be in a rush to step in front of the Bengals, even if they are sizable favorites here in this game. And let's be honest, Baltimore, even if Lamar plays, he's going to be in the same dilemma Huntley's in. Like, if Cincinnati gets in front, and we saw that perfectly on display today with Anthony Brown was at quarterback for Baltimore in the game, you know, are they going to be able to make plays if they're trailing, throwing the football? I mean, it's the question you got to ask. It's such a run-heavy, run-oriented offense that the Ravens have that that's just not equipped to come from behind if that happens to them. So it's an interesting dynamic, but obviously the Lamar Jackson status is paramount.
Chargers and Jags. It was interesting. I was watching the halftime show on Sunday Night Football. What's the guy's name? Kornacki? I think it's Kornacki.
Steve Kornacki, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's, you know, does the, he's a political guy, right? He's a political numbers guy, an odds guy, but they bring him in for the football stuff. And he said that the Chargers and the Jags is the closest game out of any games as far as, like, his percentages were concerned. 50-50. So he was like, this is a 50-50 game. For the record, he gave the Dolphins only a 22% chance of winning the football game against the Buffalo Bills.
I don't even know if I'd give them that percentage.
Yeah, I thought that was a little high, actually. And he even said, well, you know, Dolphin fans, you don't have much of a chance. 20, I was like, 22?
Oh, with Lamar, I'd give, or with Tua, I'd give them more than 22. With Skylar Thompson, if he plays, I wouldn't even give him that.
Dude, Tua hasn't played in a while, and Tua would get hurt in the first quarter anyways. Like, I, you know what I mean? Like, but yeah, you're right. We'll see how that plays out. But nevertheless, all right, so the Chargers are laying 2.5 here, Babano, which I would recommend, guys. If you like the Chargers, play them on the money line at minus 132. And if you like the Jaguars, play them plus the points, right, at that point. You don't want to lay 2.5, and the money line is affordable enough not at minus 132 that it's not like, oh, it's minus 168 or something like that. It's like, no, it's minus 132. I'd much rather lay minus 132, guys, than lay 2.5 points. And conversely, I'd much rather have 2.5 points than only plus 112 in that football game. Who do you like in this game or your early lean, Babano?
Yeah, I mean, this is an interesting one because you got two first-timers in the playoffs, Trevor Lawrence and Justin Herbert for their respective teams. Both teams played really well down the stretch. Well, until today, the Chargers stumbled. But I've got to ask myself what Brandon Staley's doing with the starters. I mean, Mike Williams got injured during the game against Denver. Joey Bosa, who just came back recently, also got dinged up in that game. I don't think Bosa's is serious, but Mike Williams is going to have to go for x-rays tomorrow after getting hurt today. And this game really didn't mean much against Denver to the Chargers. So I've got to ask what they're thinking. But nevertheless, you know, just when this Chargers team is starting to get healthier.
A lot of people wonder what what Staley is thinking, quite a lot, Papano.
I mean,
and
wow.
Leaving Herbert out there as long as he did as well. Like, there was just no need for it.
There was no need for it. And, you know, it's going to hurt because Williams has been good. Herbert's found rapport with him. And if he's not able to go against Jacksonville, that hurts. Jacksonville's got really something special. I think it's a good thing for the Jags that, look, they found a way to beat Tennessee when they didn't play great. And especially on offense, they didn't play great. They left a lot of points on the table. You know, there was a wide open Zay Jones that Trevor missed on the one drive. And yet they overcame all of that and still made the big plays. And the defense was good in the second half. The other Josh Allen was a beast in the second half for the Jags in that win against the Titans on Saturday. At home, the Chargers got to fly cross country. I hate to say this because I'd love to see the Chargers make a run as someone that really liked their Super Bowl futures in the preseason, but I'm leaning into Jacksonville in that game.
Ian Cameron, AK Babano, throwing it down with us. I am Gabriel Morenci, the Miami Dolphins. Wow, today that was an old school slugfest today in South Beach with the Jets and the Dolphins. But I'll tell you what, it was also like a trip to the sauna for me. I had the Miami Dolphins over win total over 8.5 for $1,000. So I bet $1,000 before the season started on the Dolphins to go over 8.5 wins. And they were stuck on 8. And I could have hedged. I could have jumped out. I'm not going to lie and say that it didn't cross my mind at one point during a game today and it was tied and the Jets were getting plus 175. But I hammered the in-game under and we hit that. And I did believe, and I was live on the air with Scotty Farrell during the game, and I told him, I said, this game's going to end up like 9-6 or something like that. I said, it's going to be a field goal battle, but I think Miami will somehow find a way to win the football game. And they did. So we win. Are over 8.5, and we win the in-game under, which is all good. So it's good news, bad news for Miami. They get into the playoffs, but now they need to go back to Buffalo. We don't know their quarterback situation right now. I don't think they know their quarterback situation right now. They're in a tough spot. Tua hasn't played in a while. If they bring him back, all right, and he gets hurt again, like his career is over. A lot of people don't think Tua should play already. Ever again, which I think might be extreme, but that thought is out there. I personally do not believe. Like, I think Lamar Jackson's going to play, Babano. That's why it's 5.5. I don't think Tua's going to play, bro. I just don't. I get it. It's a playoff game, but he hasn't played in a while, and if they get him killed, it's going to be a big problem, and they've already gotten him killed twice, right? So as I stated, a lot of people, and including former quarterbacks, think that he should consider not ever playing again, which I don't think that's like, but I just don't think he's going to play personally, Babano. But I think the Bills would win either way.
Yeah, this one is probably, I'm going to do what I've done a lot with the Bills and at home especially. It's either bet their team total over, because I think they'll move the ball pretty well against Miami. That's what I did against New England, is just rather than laying big points, is just trust them to score. And they were able to do that against New England. I think they'll do that here. So I'm interested in a team total on the Bills over. If I were to bet the spread, I'd bet the first half, because more often than not, the Bills have only been, you know, hit or miss full games covering numbers at home lately. But first half, they've been pretty good. Team total over for sure. I'm interested in. You're right. I just don't think Miami defensively is going to match up. And the one thing about the Bills is, even if Tua's in, how good is he going to be? How effective is he going to be? And certainly if it's Skylar Thompson, we saw how rough that offense looked against the Jets. You know, with him at quarterback, he's just a young quarterback. There's a huge drop off. So again, this is about as good a matchup as the Bills on paper would have asked for in the wild card round.
And it won't be extreme weather in Buffalo over the weekend, the upcoming weekend. So next weekend, although it's not like nice by Miami standards, it is, you know, snow showers actually, which is kind of, so which means more of a wet sort of situation.
I'm concerned about their run defense a little bit, the Bills, I must say though, a little bit.
Yeah, it's not like Miami run the ball anyways,
that's
bro.
That's the thing. Yeah. this opponent may not exploit that. Right.
Yeah, who really runs the ball that much anyways in a National Football League?
Like San Francisco would be a huge problem.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah, San Francisco would be a problem. And I tell you what, I wouldn't be surprised if San Francisco made it to the Super Bowl either. All right, so we'll get into a couple of more games. We'll take a look at the overnight NHL with the battle on the other side. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I am Gabe Morency. We're kicking it with Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babana. We're just going to keep him for a couple of segments. The time always flies by. I want to take a look at the overnight NHL action as well, but we're talking NFL football right now. So we'll keep everyone up to date, obviously, about the Miami Dolphin quarterback situation. But I think Babano, you know, in the numbers, you can sort of read between the lines who's going to play or not. Like, put it this way. If the odds makers didn't think Lamar Jackson was playing, there's no way in hell the Bengals would only be 5.5-point favorites, right?
Yep.
It just is. And if Lamar was playing, Lamar's playing. He hasn't played in a while. So, we don't know what he's getting. He's a running quarterback. The guy, you know, he needs to be at 100%. And then conversely, Tua has been murdered this year. I don't think Tua's going to play. That's my own personal opinion for people wondering about that. It's sitting at 10. I really don't know how much of a difference he would make according to the number anyways. And in fact, bro, they played like 3 weeks ago, Babano, and when Tua played, and what was the number? It was like 9.5 or something. It was 8.5, 9.5, 9.5. So, right. Like, it wouldn't really be different anyways, right? It just, yep. It is what it is. The Bills are laying 10 in that game. And then we have the Dallas Cowboys and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I was on Twitter tonight talking to fans and football fans, and everybody sort of thinks if there's sort of an upset, if one of the favorite teams will lose outright, potentially it's the Dallas Cowboys. Are you buying into that?
Look, this was a weird spot for Dallas against Washington. I get it. The fact remains, Dak Prescott was horrendous. And I know it was not the greatest of spots for the Cowboys necessarily. There wasn't, like, they knew they weren't going to catch Philly. It's not like they had everything at stake. They didn't have much at stake once the Eagles got up big. But still, to see Prescott be that pathetic today, in pick six, what was he, 2 for 9, throwing the football 1 point early in the game? It's concerning. Look, these are two, I've said this for weeks, Dallas, Tampa Bay, I'd rather bet against these two teams if they're going to meet up in the wild card round. And of course, now they are. But I've got to probably lean to the Bucs as a home underdog. At least with them, they're getting a little healthier. Ryan Jensen, the center's back. Tristan Wirfs, the O-line's getting healthier. The defense is still pretty solid. You know, it's still Brady in the playoffs, and he's going to have some rest a little bit because he didn't play much against Atlanta.
What could be his last game, too. Like, yeah. He, for all we know, he might be thinking, this is it, right? I'm going to retire after this, so let's try to get one more win. one week at a time.
One week at a time, but I'm not laying points with Dallas on the road. I'll tell you that right now. That will not happen.
Even it's interesting that it's only 3, isn't it?
Yeah. It is only three.
It tells you something.
That does tell you something. And look, Dallas hasn't played great football. Let's be honest. They barely beat Gardner Minshew and the Philadelphia Eagles a couple weeks ago. They had lost to Jacksonville. It was a really poor game by their standards. They've not played their best. You want to be going into the playoffs playing your best, peaking? In your best form? I don't think you can say that right now about Dallas.
How about the Minnesota Vikings, Babano? As many games as they've won this year, all season long, the odds makers and the public have not believed in them. Right? They haven't. We've seen them, you know, and it's just look at their point spreads. That's all you need to know when you look at their point spreads. And we've seen this, and quite frankly, they've let people down in these spots when people have defended them. So I find it fascinating that the odds makers go right back to the disrespect card with the Minnesota Vikings laying 3 points. We're talking about a 13-4 football team. We're talking about a football team that's 8-1 on their home field this year, laying 3 points to an overachieving New York Giants football club. Babano, I know, listen, you were on the Giants bandwagon all year, basically, and you jumped in early. Because I remember the season flew by, and I remember so was I early on with the Giants. But this is, wow, Vikings -3 only. What are you doing with this one? What's your early thoughts?
Yeah, I'm taking the Giants here. I get all of that. I understand the disrespect. They're only laying three at home, the record. They found ways to win. But this is not so much that Minnesota's frauds are overrated. Like that, I'm not going to use that narrative as to why I like the Giants. I'm going to use the narrative of Brian Daboll's coaching staff preparing this team for a big playoff game, which he's been through for years with Buffalo. This is new territory for O'Connell. All right, let's not forget that. Number two, what's Kirk Cousins done in a postseason? Now, you could counter that and say Daniel Jones is his first playoff game. What's he done? But the bottom line is I like what I've seen out of Jones this year. He has made fewer mistakes with the football, less fumbles, better decisions. He's gotten really good down the stretch the way he's played. And let's be honest, they give Minnesota a game earlier in the regular season. Giants could have won that game. Vikings needed a field goal at the end to win that football game. I think the Giants can get it done this time around. And I like that idea of they lost a close one to Minnesota in the regular season. There's that little extra mile you go to prepare and make adjustments and all that because you lost to this team in the regular season. I like the G-men here. I think they can win it.
Ian Cameron, A.K. Babano, kicking it with us. All right, let's step onto the National Hockey League ice right now with the remaining moments with Babano. First things first, Babano, this Boston Bruins team, unbelievable. Unbelievable. Like, this is, wow. All they do is just keep winning, man. They just keep winning hockey games at a literal and figurative, I don't know if that's a word. pace
something
though.
Like that.
Yeah, literally and figuratively, I was going to say, but like historic. We're talking like you're going back to like the Canadians in like the 40s and stuff, but man, I mean, this is one of the best starts in NHL history. It really is.
No, it certainly is. There's no question about that. It has been one of the best starts, no doubt about that. And look, I don't know if it's going to cease because, you know, they're scoring goals. They're defending well. They've got a goaltender playing at the top of his form right now. I don't know if this is going to end anytime soon. And they seem to avoid flat spots. Like, oh, they might be flat for this. No, there's been none of that for Boston. They've been excellent.
All right, so let's take a look at the Philadelphia Flyers and the Buffalo Sabres. Babano, your thoughts on this matchup. Philadelphia had a nice West Coast trip, and I bet on them coming home the other night, and they cashed a ticket for me in their first game back. What do you make of the Monday nighter in Buffalo?
Yeah, goals. I've been cashing overs with Philadelphia repeatedly lately. They've actually started scoring goals lately after struggling early in the season to get that offense going. And now all of a sudden, you know, they're not defending as well. And Buffalo's a dead nuts over team right now. I mean, the Sabres are just scoring, you know, 3, 4, 5 a night, but they're good to give up 3, 4, 5 a lot of occasions. This young goalie could be good for them, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, but he's still growing. He's still maturing. I think the 6.5 total, it's going to go over that number with those two teams.
Yeah, I tell you what, Babano's talking about goals. The Flyers are 6-2 to the over in their last 8 games. And Buffalo as a whole have been a strong over bet on the season, Babano, 21-14 to the over. And listen, you know, Philadelphia was a nice little 4-game run that they went on. Nobody expected them to beat the Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll see how they bounce back here.
Yeah, exactly. We will have to see how they bounce back following the loss. And you know what? I don't want to lay -220 with Buffalo in this spot. I've noticed with Buffalo, like they lost to Ottawa, kind of a mediocre, below average team. But they've beaten Washington. They've beaten Boston.
I find they raise their game range
for the good teams, and sometimes they can play down to some of the weaker teams. So I worry about that a little for the Sabres. They're better than the Flyers. They should win, but I've seen them play down a few times.
This is the best hockey the Sabres have played in years, though. It really is. This is the best that they've been in years. This is the best they're playing right now. They've won 8 of their last 10 games. They're 5 games over 500. They're playing good hockey. They're
got
good
one
hockey
of the stars team. Of the league playing right now. Tage Thompson incredible. Yeah.
All right. So another team, Babano, that kind of flies under the radar, the Nashville Predators. They're 6-2-2 in their last 10 games, 18-14-5-1 on the season. You mentioned the Ottawa Senators. Senators are a dead nut 500 hockey club. Senators are small home favorites in this game. So Sens are -120. The total is 6. Just for the record, the official line, Sabres -220, total 6.5. Babano likes the over in a Flyers-Sabre game. What about the Preds and the Sens?
Yeah, I'd probably have to take Nashville here. I think they're better form right now. Ottawa just got embarrassed on home ice by the Seattle Kraken. We'll talk about them in a second. They're playing Montreal. But
teams off of humiliating efforts, though? I always do.
They are. That's the one thing that might keep me off the side. But I like Nashville the way they're playing the last 4 or 5 games compared to Ottawa. there's no question Nashville's been better. You're right about that angle. You're right about that. You're off an 8-4 embarrassment at home to Seattle on a Saturday night on hockey night in Canada. You know that shouldn't sit well with anybody on the Ottawa Senators team. So you would expect a big effort, maybe first period if you're going to look at Ottawa, because I could see the first 20 minutes them wanting to come out strong after what happened on Saturday.
The Sens were on like an 8-2 under run, guys, type of deal, but they got lit up the other night. It'll be interesting to see if they tighten things up, but the total is only 6 in that hockey game. All right, so speaking of struggling, the Montreal Canadiens have been struggling a battle, despite the fact that they did come back. They beat the Blues on Saturday night 5-4. Canadiens have been another over team to battle. 4 of the last 5 games have gone over the number. I mean, this team, they gave up 7 goals to Florida, 9 to Washington, 6 to Nashville, 4 to the Rangers, and then 4 to the Blues. So, like, 4 games is like 4. And you look at these guys, it's been a defensive just breakdown of a battle in which basically them giving up 4 goals is actually good for them. They were playing decent hockey too, but they've hit a wall as of late. And then you get the Seattle Kraken, man. The Kraken have been a very, very good road team this year, Babano, as we've seen.
Yeah, this is going to be something, Gabe, that I've done a lot. And I've been picking on Montreal quite a bit for the last week or two. And that's bet the opponent team total. I'm sure it's going to be 3.5 with juice for Seattle over their team total. But it's been cashing every single time since the Christmas break. You trace it right back to the Christmas break with Matheson out, with Caden Gooley, one of their best young blue liners, out. It's basically Edmondson and a bunch of youngsters right now on this blue line for Montreal. And they just can't keep the puck out of the net. They're making mistakes. They're coughing up the puck. What did they give up? 9 to Washington. They gave up 7 to Florida. They gave up 6 to Nashville. They gave up another 4 to St. Louis on Saturday, although they did win that game. Every team is scoring 4 goals right now against the Montreal Canadiens. So why not Seattle, who, by the way, scored 5 against Toronto and 8 against Seattle on this against Ottawa on this road trip. So I think the Seattle team total over is a good bet, maybe the full game over too, but I especially want to zone in on that team total.
The LA Kings and the Edmonton Oilers, this is actually one of the better under-the-radar rivalries in the NHL. The Kings and Oilers. They don't like each other. They're always very competitive games. Remember, they played in the playoffs. Anytime you play in the playoffs, there's going to be a dislike that gets magnified. So you have the LA Kings as small home favorites here, Babano, -115. The total is 6.5.
Yeah, this one, Edmonton coming off a game against Colorado where it's going to look like, wow, 3-2 loss against Colorado, against the Stanley Cup champs, not a bad effort. No, it was a bad effort. They got outplayed badly at even strength 5-on-5. If not for the power plays that they got, that's the only time they did something. Colorado outplayed them badly at 5-on-5. Very fortunate to get a point out of that game. They're going to need to be a lot better. I think they might be. Kings are playing well. They're back home off a huge win against Vegas, but Edmonton lost to LA just a couple weeks ago in Edmonton. I think the Oilers could return the favor here off a loss against Colorado. I think they'll be better. I'd like the -105 with them. And by the way, I'd like it the over here too. Edmonton off an under. When their last game has gone under, the next game has gone over at an 11-1 clip this year. So that's an angle that I've been riding off an under. In Edmonton's last game, bet their next game over, and that's probably what I'm going to do here because it's 11-1 on the season.
That's crazy. So they've only had back-to-back unders once. Yep. Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano, great stat right there. Ian Cameron, find him on Twitter, at Babano, daily podcast, the Ice Guys with the crew, breaking down all the hockey games and more. And, of course, Babano's got picks for everything. Babano, always a pleasure. We'll catch up with you on Wednesday, and we'll get the final picks. And we'll break down the NFL playoff.
Sounds good, Gabe. We'll talk to you later in the week.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're on the clock. Quickest 100 names in Sports Talk Radio comes to a close. Thanks to Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano, for throwing it down with us. We had Jason B. Tackett, the 3-time champion with the Toronto Blue Jay organization, a GM of the A-Ball affiliate, won three championships. We talk baseball. World Baseball Classic is going to be lit. That stuff's going to be off the hook. Can't wait for that. But, of course, the NFL playoffs, and thanks to Mo Khan for kicking with us. We got a full house tomorrow. We'll be on right after the national championship game. And, in fact, I should let you know from a programming note, we will be on tomorrow at 6 o'clock Eastern and 3 o'clock Pacific, but only for an hour. There's going to be like college football coverage on Sports Grid here with the College Football Saturday crew. They'll do a little pregame show, but I will be on with Cam Stewart from 6 to 7 Eastern, and we'll break down all the props and picks. But I will tell you, we've discussed this. I'm taking TCU plus the points. I wouldn't, you know, listen, if you're taking TCU plus the points, I wouldn't call you crazy if you said, all right, I want to sprinkle on the money line as well. I wish we were getting more than plus 375. I did play a bunch of odds boost, actually, for this game already, just because it's some nice plus money. And anytime you're getting plus money, like, here's a boost that I liked here. Georgia to win the game. Stetson Bennett over 277.5 passing yards. And Kenny McIntosh to get a touchdown. That's plus 250. This one I like more. I went bigger on this one, although they max you out here. Like, they only let you go $100. TCU, Georgia, both teams to score 25 or more points, yes. Brock Bowers to score a touchdown, yes. Quentin Johnson to score a touchdown, yes. Boosted from 425 to 500. I do like that. I like Max Duggan to go over 1.5 touchdown passes. I like Stetson Bennett to throw over 1.5 touchdown passes. I think both quarterbacks are also going to throw an interception in the football game. I think TCU cover the game. I think it's like a 40-37 type game, you know, in that range, maybe a little higher, maybe a little lower. Well, whatever, the total is 63.5. So either way, it goes over. Tune in at 6 o'clock Eastern. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.